magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together on this Wednesday, August 19th, 2015. Announcement. Do not go anywhere near Walmart, at least during the hours of like 8 to about 9 at night. Students are back. Internationals are in a little early getting all the things with their folks, and lines are long. In fact, I went in for one item the other day, and I looked at the lines. I thought, there's no way I'm going to wait in line for this one item. I set it on the shelf, as you know. We didn't like that at the Jewel days when people pick something up, leave it somewhere else on the shelf. But I laughed at that. I'm going to come at like 2 in the morning when there's less traffic. But things are stirring up as many children have returned to school. So today's a big day as you'll be sending off Jacob. And who else is going to school
today?
Molly,
she's first grade, so she'll be going all day. So yeah, this morning. They're at the bus stop. They're getting on the bus. They're headed to school. First day. They're so not excited about it. Well, Molly's sort of excited, but Jacob is not excited.
Have you seen that? Somebody, it looks like a Facebook post, where it's like the first day of school, and it shows four children all like age like maybe 7, 8, 9, and 11, and they're all grumpy looking, sad, sour faces, and the mom's jumping up in the air. It's pretty good.
Yeah, so. I think there are some parents, but it's a long road to get there. We had to go the other day to go shoe shopping. I teased my wife. I said, I think you sent me to do this because you knew what it was, and I didn't know what it was, yeah. And you knew how it was going to go because I called her. This is the first time, I think, in Molly is 6. So it's the first time in Molly's 6 years. And Jacob, I've never had to do this, but it was the first time I had to call my wife in the middle of a shopping trip to have her talk to one of our children. Oh, yeah. Because I couldn't talk anymore. Yeah. And it's because we went back to school shoe shopping with Molly and Abigail, and I was just beside myself.
Yeah.
I never knew there were so many criteria for shoes. I just said, here's some shoes, let's buy them. And every pair of shoes she pointed to were $60.
Yeah.
And I'm going, you're a kid, what are you? No, they're not. You know, it was crazy. But all the other moms that were in there were just laughing at me. They thought it was.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you. Maybe you haven't done it yet.
No. In fact, Judah Christian had a great thing this year. All the school supplies, you could just give one flat fee. It was all boxed, ready to go. You just pick up. Where last year we did the shopping and, oh, this isn't the right size, or you need 6, and they only pack them 4. And what do you do with it? So this year it was like a done deal. And I think we already had the shoes Holly got, the art shirt, the different things.
So I'll tell you what we did is we I learned about it because our church has it, but our church has a Staples account. And so, you know, when you buy certain stuff or amounts of stuff or whatever you do, you get rewards points. And rewards points translate into dollars. And so last year we opened up one for our family. So we bought like a printer with it. We buy printer paper. We buy supplies that we need for the house. We buy a lot of different things. We had enough. It was hilarious. We were $1 under our rewards points when we bought all our school supplies. So our school supplies ended up being free. So it was a great way that we, you know, for all the stuff that we bought all year, we got the kids school supplies for free. But we're pretty frugal with that, too. I mean, you don't get to get the Captain America folder. You get the plain red
yeah.
folder. But the shoe shopping thing, now that was interesting. That was really interesting.
You lost a few years of your life.
Oh, I'm telling you. I mean, finally, I'm in the middle of the shoe store, and I just go, these are your choices. Blue, white, pink, pick. And at one point, she did this thing, and maybe it's just I've gotten too old and they're still too young, but we had shoes. And I'm like, so which ones do you want to get? And my daughter goes, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. And I go, we don't do eeny, meeny, miny, mo with $50.
Yes.
Let's pick a pair of shoes you want and you need and you'll wear. It was an adventure. I'm glad I only did it once and I'm not going to do it again. When I go buy shoes, I walk in, I go, yep. And I pick them up and I leave.
Yeah.
It's 35 seconds from door to cash register, and then I'm done.
That takes almost longer to get your Mocha Java than that.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah. Hey, you know, you're going to get to sample some good coffee. I don't know, for those of you that were tuned in on Monday, we had Pete Leonard, and he's the founder, the roastmaster, the head kahuna at I Have a Bean, and he's going to be the guest speaker at Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry. But I talked about your passion or your love or your enjoyment of coffee, and I said, hey, you got to send some to my co-host, and we'll have him sample it, maybe comment over the air, so we'll see if we can...
I'd gladly do that. In fact, it was funny. I can say this over the radio because it's after the fact. But my son went to the Illinois State Fair on Tuesday because my wife's family has a sesquicentennial farm, a 100-year farm. And they, when you have a farm in Illinois that's been in your family for 100 years, they honor you at a big breakfast. And the governor comes. Governor Rauner was there. LaHood was there. All the congressmen and senators are there. They're all, they come down for this thing. And so they were going to drop Jacob off in Bloomington on their way back from Springfield. That was going to kind of be where they meet so that they can go back to Peoria and then Jacob come home. And my wife said, she said, boy, it's going to be a tough day. I got to go here. I know you're busy. And I said, you know what, honey? I love you. I would gladly go pick him up in Bloomington.
Okay, now is there a coffee shop?
The Coffee Hound is in downtown Bloomington, and that was my. And I just want to say, I mean, I repent right now. I immediately thought, I'm going to go get a really good cup of coffee, and it'll be what I'm. Yeah, and so I could say after the fact because I told her, I said, hey, you know, I did that because I wanted some really good coffee.
That's okay sometimes to like blur motives.
No, but it'll give me a good chance. Gives me a good chance to get with him and also for him and I to go out and grab something to eat. So we got to talk, father, son. So it was good stuff. Yeah, good coffee is good for you. Now, I know you need to be educated in that. I think you had sent me an email and you asked me why I didn't answer a coffee question. There was a question that said, what kind of. And I said, I don't have to answer that because I answered the ground question. And
it's way above my pay
grade. We have to educate you on coffee. Yeah, I don't even know how you're surviving.
I've never had coffee because it's hot. Now, I like the smell of it, but I've never, it's just hot.
How do you even maintain your Christianity?
Yes. Hey, that was a good question to ask yesterday. Do you know the name of that little book that has that boy's name? I let off the program with that, the No Good, Rotten, Terrible, Bad Day.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was my day yesterday. Maybe yesterday, had I had coffee, I could have navigated through things. But I should give a little update for our listeners that yesterday, because I had a special guest on the line, I had to kind of move forward. Yeah, the 89.3 FM transmitter hopefully will be at full power tomorrow or Friday. They may be sending me this new exciter. It's kind of like a component that powers up the transmitter, and the transmitter was showing some kind of fault issues, and it was one of these where I was doing some maintenance, I was getting ready to leave the building, and I saw a conflict with, there was these two lights, and everything else had one light, and I thought, oh, I'll just turn this thing off, turn it on, and it'll probably reboot, fix itself. Well, that was the beginning of about 2.5-3 hours of extensive problems with more issues. And each one of these modules, we've replaced them in the past, are like $2,600. And it looked like four of them had gone bad and power units had gone bad. And I was thinking, what is going on here? And after spending a lot of time with some technicians and other people, they felt like it was this one component that feeds the power and readings to the other things. And anyways, we got that all ordered, and they're going to be sending it hopefully tomorrow or tomorrow night. But because of that, we've had reduced power at 89.3 FM. So if you've noticed that the signal maybe has a little more static in it or isn't coming in as strong or clear, hopefully that'll be resolved by Friday. And this is a time of year when, because of weather patterns as far away as 200, 300, 500 miles, it can affect the signal in our area. Sometimes there's a 102.5 in St. Louis, Missouri, that around Monticello, Decatur, and some of the eastern points of our signal coverage for 102.5 WGNN, it gets interfered with. And sometimes I've had people call up and say, have you changed to a rock and roll station? And so sometimes that 89.3 will carry further into Indiana, and some people will say, wow, I got you beyond West Lafayette or other areas. And I'm like, yeah, that's just going to be a short term. It's because of, you know, the weather, and it kind of causes our signal to jump, as they say. But anyways, for the next few months, this is the least range that the signal gets to cover because of foliage and the leaves on the trees. And as we get into the fall and into the winter time, we get a much further reach. So I'm always looking forward to the fall and the winter time. But 89.3, hopefully, Lord willing, come Thursday, Friday, will be at full strength. And thank you, God, that we had the resources on hand. The component that we needed cost $8,350. And the guy said, well, I'll give you a discount. I'll knock off $1,670, basically, so it became a little under $7,000. But we had the resources, and thank you, God, for the 2020 challenge and for those that give on a regular basis. So we'll pay that off and hopefully be at full strength soon. So, yeah, that was a crazy day. It began early and ended very late, and I'm like, well, that's why I love this ministry, because God was with me throughout the day. And I got to put in a little racquetball, too. So I'm finally transitioning back into some of the racquetball. I needed that exercise, and it was fun to meet up with some of the old faces. Some of these guys have been playing for 15, 20 years. So we have some good rivalry and competition. And, oh, thank you, God, that the body can still go out there and do that. And John, there's one racquetball player, I think he's 84.
Oh, wow.
And he's still playing strong, he's still nationally ranked, and travels around the country. John O'Donnell, a listener to and supporter of the station. So a little shout-out for John and our senior saints that remain active and caring for their bodies and utilizing the strength and the skill that God has given them and the life experiences to mentor and help and assist the next generation. So, oh. So kids are back in school. Yeah, it's awful quiet around the homestead here. You're going to experience that soon.
Yeah, but it's not really. I mean, we still have two that are at home. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, if you have four and you take two out, it doesn't get quieter because the two just, now they get to speak in full force.
Yeah, and they don't have a playmate, so you become the object of their affection.
Well, you know, Abigail and Samuel are still close enough that they're becoming their own, you know, each other's kind of Lone Ranger and Tonto, which is funny because Abigail, she's older, but sometimes she's following Samuel's lead, which is, you know, at one and a half, it's not really well informed. So I don't know that I would follow his lead, but yeah, whatever. But yeah, they did get louder. So, but it's all good. It's, you know, what a joy to have the sound of the kids around the house and their craziness and all of that. You know, we were, a lot of listeners were at the Sunday night Christianity in Israel gathering. And got to, you know, got an opportunity to pray for Skip. Skip had been hit by a truck on his motorcycle, and so we weren't really sure what happened. Luckily, when we got there, Skip, you know, God's hand of protection was on Skip, and Skip was, you know, a lot of bumps, a lot of bruises, some sore ribs. Luckily, no broken ribs.
And some nasty scrapes from
the photo. Some real nasty scrapes, and we kept finding them, or he kept finding them as the nurse was cleaning up. She'd go, wait, what about this one back here? And Skip would go, oh, that one hurts too. You know, and there was just a bunch, but, you know, praise God, he was good. But while we were in the ER, they had brought in, right before I got there, a two-year-old.
Hmm.
And the two-year-old had been gotten into the pool and had been in there for 45 minutes underwater. And so they were trying to resuscitate her. Now, at the end, we had heard that she had passed away. But it just was a moment where it just kind of real humbling to realize that, you know, these kids, you know, the noise. Sometimes we're, you know, sometimes the parents were like, be quiet, be quiet. Will you go? And you know, there might come a time, you know, we don't know how God works like this and what those appointed times are for everybody. There may come a time when that noise isn't there, and it's not because it's moved out or it's gone to school or it's gone to college or whatever it is, but it's because it was their time to be delivered back home to glory with God. But it was just a real sobering kind of moment where we were just like, wow. I mean, you know, there's this two-year-old who was under the water for 45 minutes. You know, so I take advantage of that noise. You know, let him be loud. Let him be. You need that.
I mean, when I'm thinking another lesson, just the brevity of life. None of us know whether this might be our last moments, our last hours. You know, make it count. And, you know, as many times we think about, like, the Lord's return, it could realistically come at any time. And are we ready? Have we tried to resolve issues with people we know? Have we reconnected with maybe family members that we've been apart from? Have we tried to restore relationships or sought after forgiveness or reconciled with God? Maybe there's a listener right now that, well, yeah, I've never really thought about life and death and, you know, what do you mean reconcile with God? And today could be the last day of their lives, and there will be a place they'll spend all eternity.
Yeah, James tells us that we're a mist and a vapor, that we're here today and gone tomorrow. And that's not to diminish life, because life is a beautiful pursuit as long as I believe you're pursuing God and what God would have you do in your life. But in the same token, the scripture speaks in terms of saying, oh, death, where is your sting? You know, Paul would say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul wasn't fearful of death, and therefore he lived life in a manner that he was bold, and he was loving in his boldness, and he was tenacious in his boldness, and he was generous in his boldness. And that all came from the fact that, that death wasn't this looming black cloud. In fact, he was basically saying that, you know, when I die, I'm going to go be with Jesus, and that's going to be wonderful, and that's going to be magnificent, and that's going to be great. So whether I'm here or whether I'm there, it's going to be great. And so, you know, I think that we oftentimes allow death to become this black cloud which drags us down. It actually robs us of life. And we need to realize that, oh, death, where is your sting? Mm-hmm. I mean, the worst thing that death can take from you is this. But death ultimately, because of the assurance that we have through the work of Jesus Christ, that death will be the entryway into this glorious kingdom that never ends. And so, you know, I don't think, and I've said this oftentimes, and I struggle often when it comes to funerals because I'm not sad. If somebody's a believer, I'm not sad. I've done some funerals for people who weren't believers, and those for me are different. Those for me are very sad occasions. Because somebody wasn't just perishing, as the scriptures say, but they have perished. And now they're living apart from God for eternity, which is, I mean, that should break every believer's heart. And every time I've done a funeral for somebody who's not a believer, I've come back even more tenacious with the need to preach the gospel. Because there was somebody who was lost. If you think about it, if you go to a funeral for an unbeliever, that's the last time you ever see him. That's the last time he's in that casket. You'll never see Fred or Mary or George or whoever it was. You'll never see them again. Never see them again. But when you go to a funeral for a believer, you go, I'm going to see them again. But I'm going to see them without the wrinkles, and I'm going to see them without the whatever it was, the cancer, whatever it was that took their life. I'm going to see them in their glorious presence of God and in their, you know, their glorified bodies. And so, oh, death, where is your sting? Death doesn't scare me. But you know what? I, in a real human way, I would just say that the fear of, and it's not even a fear, but the thought of losing one of my children is very weighty. And again, just with that night in the hospital, just thinking about them, I went home and I told my wife, now those kids don't go by the pool unless they got that water, that floaty thing on, and they don't do this and they don't do that because, you know, and she's like, wow. She's like, what a reminder that, you know, I mean, so easily it's here today. I'm missing a vapor here today and it's gone tomorrow. And that should do two things for us. It should make us be watchful, and it should also make us be loving and generous and bold in being loving and being generous and being giving and being everything that we are, everything that God's called us to be.
Yeah, I think often that struggle or that balance to thoroughly enjoy life, because God has granted us these years to know Him and to taste good things and to enjoy His handiwork, pets or nature or the surroundings. And yet, like you said, also agonize over the fact that there is heartache and pain and suffering, and some people will be separated from God for all eternity. And there is great loss and there is suffering. And yet, you know, I always kind of think about that because I love life. I mean, I really do. I enjoy life. And yet it's going to be so much better in God's presence, where there's no pain or suffering or heartache. And then in the fullness of His presence, where we can not only worship without any of that baggage, but worship Him in full.
I forget who said it, but they said for some, this now is as close to hell as you'll ever be, and heaven will await. But for some, this is as close to heaven as you'll ever be, and hell awaits. And that is scary to me. I mean, that thought drives me, not a fear that causes me to cower or to do that, but it has me move in the fear of the Lord to share the gospel with people in a way that I wouldn't. And I'm going to tell you what, if you go somewhere, if you set your mind on that, because I would just be honest that a number of years ago, oh gosh, 4 years ago for sure, when I came to the Muhammad area 4.5 years ago, I was not an evangelist. I would share the gospel when I had to, but I did not like sharing the gospel. And I didn't like sharing the gospel because of my own junk and my own baggage, my own need to be validated. So, you know, and when somebody would not accept it, I would feel like I did something wrong.
Well, none of us want to be rejected generally. Sure. So when we share something and they're like, what? Are you a kook? you need a crutch. You know, all those things that people say, like, you should be pitied if you have those beliefs. And it's like,
Yeah. And so a number of years ago, you know, probably in the second year I think I was at the church, we were doing a book study in the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, there's this whole idea of the threshing floor. And I really just began to lay before God this prayer consistently that, Lord, bring me to the threshing floor, that place where you separate the wheat from the chaff, that place where I can preach the gospel with boldness, and it will separate those who desire to be saved and those who are unwilling, those who are hard-hearted. And Lord, just take me to the threshing floor and do that. And God has honored that prayer. God has opened up doorways. Now, you know, when I go, it was funny, I went the other day to Hobby Lobby, and, you know, I just said before I went in, Lord, if there's anybody in here I need to talk to, just like, and I got a chance to witness to a Muslim person, which was fascinating because it was on the heels of having finished the Islam and Christianity thing on Sunday night. And so having just a little couple little tools that Bob had shared there about how to do that, I was able to have a conversation with somebody where I just said, hey, it was really just gentle, and I said, have you considered Jesus Christ? You know, have you considered that? And I really felt like that's all I needed to say. You know, I shared that he died for your sins and that he wants you to live differently. And then I said, just have you considered him? And I really felt like that was all I had to say. And then I walked away and gave him one of my cards and I said, I'd love to talk to you some more. I'll even buy lunch. You know, people tend to come back more when you buy lunch. But
I'm available.
Yeah. But God honors that prayer. He really honors that prayer. So, I mean, if you're even feeling like, well, I don't know, Jason, how I do that, how I share that, because we all do it. We go to funerals and we sit on the edge of that precipice of death and we go, you know what, Lord, I've seen what this looks like and I want all people to be delivered and saved by your grace. But I don't know, how do I get outside of my own self to do that? I'm just telling you, start praying. You start asking the Lord in obedience and faithfulness to just deliver you from yourself first, and then to empower you by his Holy Spirit to send you out. I wish I had time to walk through the scriptures that I've been doing, studying on the Holy Spirit. But really, that's just what God wants to do. And he'll honor that prayer. Now, it might take years. It took 3 years for me, you know, really, to get to a point today where I'll unabashedly share the gospel.
Yeah.
But gosh, I would not have done. My wife said that. She goes, gosh, she goes, sometimes you're kind of bold. I want to go in the other room. She said,
I'm going to go down this aisle because I can tell where you're going.
She said, because 1 minute you're ordering ice cream and the next minute you're sharing the gospel. And she said, you didn't even pay yet. And I said, yeah, well, that's the way it goes sometimes, honey.
Oh, you know, I'm thinking of somebody tuned in right now that's saying a relationship with God. Well, I'm a seeker. I haven't really thought through those things or eternity or that. Let me suggest a phone number for you to call. These are wonderful people that can answer your various questions. You can dial 1-888-NEED-HIM, 1-888-NEED-HIM. But better yet, there's a lot of wonderful pastors throughout our area. And I would think if you called them up, you could call the station and we could say, hey, where you live, we could connect you with someone. They would love to sit down with you and talk to you about having a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and find a good Bible-believing church on Sunday. And hopefully you'll be greeted at the door and you'll be encouraged and there'll be the proclamation of God's Word. And you'll find yourself most likely encouraged by the message, because if it's from God and it's focused on the Word, it's going to feed you in one way or another. And sometimes that feeding is kind of hard. We call that the conviction of the Holy Spirit, but that's always a good thing, and you'll be drawn to God as a result of that. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Come, ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you.